Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 353. It's a lot of episodes. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I'm back.
And Jeff.
I'm scared.
And Pete.
Hello.
Hey, I've missed like three episodes in a row. So
yeah. You were in there somewhere talking about your Mass Effect.
He missed two.
That's right.
And then he came back for one, and then he missed last week because he was sick. So yeah, he's
and I'm still sick.
Yeah, well, that's not good. So we're gonna talk some Mass Effect because we haven't really got your opinions on the game since we got them briefly.
Right.
I don't think you had played a whole lot of it when we talked to you last. So where do you stand with the game right now?
So I've played about 44 hours of it.
That's quite a bit.
I've gotten my Mass Effect fill, and I want more. I'm really enjoying it. Once you get past the initial part where you're stuck with all the humans and the world starts to open up, I think the game becomes more what the premise feels like it should be. Like trying to find a new world and like going out and exploring and really getting into like the unknown and really getting to get your hands on it, get out there and do whatever you want to do. I think when you compare it to like the other Mass Effect games, it's an open world. It's not the same, like it's not even in the same genre of game. Like this is an open world, go out and do whatever you want. Like those other games were all linear. Like you'd go to a planet, there'd be a very specific line of things that would happen. They'd happen in a particular order in particular places. And here you're kind of just roaming around and doing stuff.
Yeah. And I think it works for that because the premise is kind of explore and you're trying to find a new home.
Yeah. I've had this mission to track down the Archon's flagship forever that I keep ignoring. Cause I'm like, I'm not here to like hunt down the enemy. I'm here to like found new worlds and like save humanity, and you know, hunting him down is not the goal here.
And boning, right?
And boning. I haven't boned anyone yet, though. Boneless.
Have you begun any of the romance options?
I'm working on PB.
Okay.
Yeah, scatterbrained Asari wearing weird makeup.
Fuck yeah!
She's a goofy one. I do like PB. She's a decent character.
Yeah, she's my. I normally walk around with her, and Drex is my other party member. I love Drex.
Oh, the Krogan. Yeah, Krogan, he's cool.
Love Krogans. I don't know why, but he's hilarious too. He's like the old grumpy Krogan now.
Yes,
like the old man Krogan.
So good.
And the exchanges between him and PB are hilarious too.
I should try and match those two up and go out on an excursion. So I've mostly been rolling with like Vetra as one of them, and then filtering in like Jahl or PB. Yeah. Or
I like Jahl too. Jahl is cool. The whole race of what are they?
And Garum.
Yeah. Really interesting. I think it's hilarious how so many of them have like Australian or New Zealander accents.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you meet Jahl, I'm like, oh, it's like an African tribe type deal thing they're going for here. But
yeah,
that's not how they go. They start getting Cockney.
their civilization is very interesting, though.
Yeah, the fact it's on like they're not particularly technologically advanced, but they're on different planets, and some of them have very interesting beliefs. It's just kind of fun to deal with them. The whole reincarnation thing, and then there are other ones who just hate outsiders because of what happened to them with the other guys. And it's fun to get out and finally, for the first time in a long time in a Mass Effect game, like get to know an entire race. Because I mean, you didn't really do you haven't really done a whole lot of that since like the first one.
Yeah,
yeah, and I mean the first one did it, and then like you I can't think of what Tali was. But like you kind of explored them a bit.
Yeah.
We lost Pete.
Bye, Pete.
Yeah, I'm really liking it a lot. I understand the complaints, and I have had some bugs. I've had some crashes.
Yeah.
Here and there, but I really like it. I'm behind you. I put 30 hours in, but 30 hours into a game when we're as busy as we are, that's I've gotten my money's worth. And
it's like obsessive, yeah.
Yeah, and I still want to play it, every night. Have you tried any of the multiplayer?
I have not tried the multiplayer yet.
Yeah, that's fun.
It was fun in the... I mean, I definitely want to. It was fun in 3.
I didn't play a whole lot of it in 3. I wonder if it's... I mean, like, really minimally. I think I played with you and Fozzie once.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like 7 waves. It was 7 rounds. 2 waves are like survival. Then 1 is like an objective. And then 2 more survival waves. And then another objective. And then an extraction. It's fun. Like, and they're like 10, 15 minutes long. Mm-hmm. It's become kind of like the game that it's kind of become like what I was doing with Halo, where I would just pop it in for, I have 15, 20 minutes. I'm going to play a couple rounds. I jump in, play around a Mass Effect, and it's cool. And evidently they're going to improve that game.
The patch is out, so I was playing it today. Okay. I didn't notice any differences, but I didn't run into any bugs, I guess. So.
I did see a lot of like side by side pictures on Twitter of like just the picture, like just their eyes look better. Like I think it's noticeable, like between the two pictures. Anyways, it's like. They look like creepy fucking mannequins in one, and then the other one actually like look like they have eyes. Like,
it's funny how quickly they did that too.
Yeah, like it's what the fuck? Why didn't you just do that in the first place? Then, like, I don't understand.
I wonder if they thought it was. I do wonder if it was like they had been so into it with it, and like, oh, these look good.
Like they thought, like, all right, that's a different art style. I don't know, like, yeah, but 2 hours. It looks nice. Yep. Peter?
Yeah, what's up?
He just distracted.
Oh. No. I thought he was talking to us.
No, I'm sorry.
Really,
somebody walking
really quiet.
No, he was talking to somebody that's sitting behind his chair now.
You're scary. Closer to accurate than you believe.
You're being watched, Peter. Better be careful what you say here.
Cousin is staying in my room, and her bed is actually literally right behind my chair.
Okay. Well, as long as we're not bothering her.
She's going
to
really
be paying
care.
Attention to everything that you say here and reporting it to other family members. So I'm just letting you know those deep, dark secrets that you reveal on this podcast every week, they're going to be out now.
I'm ready. It's time.
So I'm glad you're enjoying it, Tony.
I'm having so much fun. I even found my favorite bug. So, I managed to get video of this. So I'm in the middle of a firefight. The firefight ends. I notice that PB is down. So I'm looking around like, where's PB? I look over at the Nomad and her corpse is underneath the Nomad, and I can't like bring her back. So I get into the Nomad. I drive it forward like 5 feet, so it's no longer sitting on top of her. I get out, and she's laying on the ground there, and I can't revive her. And then I look up, and there's PB standing next to her corpse.
That's amazing. So she inherited the ability to reincarnate,
apparently,
just like the Angarum. That's amazing.
Has anybody watched the Giant Bomb video that Brad put at the bottom of his review?
No, but I heard
the one where it takes like an hour to get through, like the. The dialogue.
It's like, yeah, it's like an 8-minute video, and half of it's in just a black screen because it refuses to
load. Oh my god.
And the rest of it is it trying to load in ground, and Ryder is stuck in a T pose most of the time, and he's just floating aimlessly through the air until he connects to the trigger that he's supposed to be at. It's amazing. It's really
so
good.
Brad reviewed Mass Effect?
Yeah, he gave it a 2.
Wow. Okay.
This game is not a 2. That's horrible.
I certainly don't feel that way.
Like I feel like a lot of the comparisons they're making with this, this is a game you should be comparing to something like Fallout, and not like a more linear experience like the previous Mass Effect games.
I don't think people are comparing it to them in that way.
I think a lot of people are comparing it to the old games in way of writing and in way of character and in way of plot and things that are way more important in a Mass Effect game than in a Fallout game. And I think that's where a lot of issues fall for a lot of people. And because even in terms of gameplay, everyone's like, the combat's great in this game. Though I think a lot of people think that way too many of the side quests are fetch quests and are just like, hey, go scan these rocks. And
yeah, well, there's also it feels very much like Dragon Age Inquisition in space.
But I don't remember the so Dragon Age is a weird because each version of that game has been a completely different genre. Had the first game and was one, second game was like a weird hotkey combat game that all took place in one city, and then the third one, right? So
the third one played itself. It wasn't really a game. You just kind of watched it happen.
Yeah. I mean, I really liked Inquisition, but I never really got into Dragon Age 1, and I never touched 2. But I still don't remember granted, the ending wasn't the kind of ending that Aspect 3 had. And so their cultural situations are different, but there are people who look back on it now and go, yeah, it's not that great. But the initial reaction was much warmer than it is now, or than it is for Mass Effect now.
It's similar to that is a lot of the quest structure seems very similar. Inquisition was more of an open world type game than either 2 or the original or Origins was. I mean, obviously, Dragon Age had some great characterizations as well. I actually really do think, though, that like Vetcher and Drax and PB and Jahl are great characters. You just have to like spend time with them and get to know them like you did the characters in the original Mass Effect. Like Garrus, like people are like, oh, Garrus was amazing, and like he was, but like
not until Mass Effect 2.
Yeah, like he...
That's true.
Like,
he was a tool in the first game.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
They needed time to grow, and I actually think, like, these characters are way more initially likable. Like, I want to spend time with my alien comrades. Maybe not so much, like, Cora or Liam, because they suck, right. But...
They do suck.
But, like the Solarian pilot and... he's really kind of goofy. And actually, I really like Suvi a lot. She's the navigator with the Scottish accent. I like my crew, which is something it took me time to grow into in Mass Effect 1. And I think, like, I'm still very early in Mass Effect Andromeda, and I like those characters, so...
I also find myself, like in the other Mass Effect games, I would find like the combo that worked and just stick with it.
Mm-hmm.
And here I mean, maybe this is an issue of not having as much control over the characters as you do the other games, but I find myself cycling through them more, like trying to listen to the dialogue. And, like, it's fun to switch them out. I think this game incentivizes that a lot more.
And I guess maybe because it's a lower amount of characters, it's easier to do that. Right, like Mass Effect 12, Mass Effect 2 had like 12 characters.
Yeah.
Without DLC.
This one is like six or seven.
Yeah.
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 I don't know. I'm really liking it. I want to play more of it. And I'm going to play more of it.
Yes.
So. I like that. I mean, we'll talk about this in news because I have patch notes and stuff that they've put up. But I mean, you know, there are a lot of people being like, hey, cool, I'm glad you fixed the game now. Would have been nice if you'd done it before I was 50, 60 hours into it. And...
Well, that's like an industry-wide problem,
right,
as well.
It's this way with Bethesda games, and you know that by now, but like, this is as broken as a Bethesda game.
But I also think like,
yeah.
Like, remember Witcher 3, when that came out, Like, people, like, I mean, it wasn't broken in such a way, but that game has changed dramatically from when it first
started
to, I mean, like, the patches that it's gotten. And
there's all sorts of examples of this. I mean, look at Final Fantasy 15. Didn't that release without, like, a whole chapter of narrative or something?
Yeah, they, like, just, like, they just...
No, that it didn't release without it. It just released... They fixed 13 because... Or the chapter 13 because people were like, this is boring and too hard. So they rebalanced that. And, yeah. So that was more like rebalancing. Whether or not they eventually do...
Didn't they add some narrative stuff?
I thought there was a whole...
They said they were going to, but they haven't. In the patch that came out so far, there's no narrative stuff. There's a, like, hey, there's an option to now skip chapter 13 and play, like, a little short story about Gladio and Ignis and what they were doing during that time, and just sort of reconnect back up into chapter 14. But, I don't, the patch was more, like, rebalancing than, like, hey, let's fix our game.
It's a double-sided thing with patches. It's like, I would never want to say we need to go back to the old days where as the game ships, that's how it is, because there were a lot of games back in the past that were broken, and they could, you know, if they had patches, you could fix it. But it's getting out of hand, dude. Like,
well,
it seems like it was contained when it was just Bethesda games, so it was just Fallout, and it was just Skyrim and, you know, Oblivion and all that stuff. It was fine. It was like, okay, that's the one publisher we let get away with it for whatever reason.
Well,
now it's leaking.
But it's only leaking because the systems are more and more like PCs. Because anybody that's been playing on PC for years, like, patches have been a standard thing there, like, for way longer than they have been on consoles. And it's just finally trickling down to consoles where, hey, we have this ability to, like, you know, improve our game over time. Because otherwise you would get this shit where it's just like, well, Mass Effect's completely playable, but maybe in 6 months, like, people that get that version of it are going to get a better version. But
yeah, like, when I play it in June, it's going to be better than what you guys played. Like, that kind of sucks, right?
Yeah.
Like,
and it'll be cheaper.
Well,
yeah.
But, like, it does suck that you're going to get a better version of it, but also...
I mean, it's cool for me.
Tony and I are also enjoying the hell out of it as well. Like,
yeah.
Right, and I think, you know, there's a threshold of, like, where it gets to this, like, oh, you're actually playing an early access build of the game that they just released.
Yeah.
And they're just updating the game because they found bugs, because now 60 million people are playing it instead of their small QA team. Right? And I think this falls into that ladder, because it's like... Like, if you just watch Brad's video, it's, you know, 8 minutes,
unacceptable. That's
4 minutes of T-poses, no ground loading in, like, no dialogue, just, like, little spurts of static when people talk, and then 4 minutes of a black screen until it loads, right? And it's not like, oh, hey, occasionally an animation glitches and the gun doesn't appear.
But it's weird, because, I mean, I can't speak for Tony, maybe he can comment, but I'm 30 hours in and I have had, like, a couple crashes here or there, but I haven't had anything to any level of what, like, Giant Bomb experienced while playing this game.
And I would love to know if he was playing the PC version, because the PC version is markedly worse than the console version.
He was playing the PS4 version.
Okay. Oh.
Which would be, you would assume, better than Xbox One, you know.
Right.
Generally. Or similar.
But, like, you guys aren't the only ones. I have friends on Twitter who are like, I don't know what anyone's talking about. My game's been fine. And I guess that's just the nature of bugs, right? But, like, you know, at the same time, I feel like this is more of, like, hey, here's this funny bug. You know, like, you remember Assassin's Creed, right? When people's, like, that was the same thing, when people's faces would just, you know, not exist and stuff like that. And that, you know, I mean, there's nothing like that here. But, I mean,
it's really weird, like, because... Like, he evidently got hit, like, super hard with bugs, like, and I'm sitting here going, I don't understand, I didn't get any of this, and, like, I'm listening to other podcasts, and, like, they didn't get it, like, they have complaints about the game, like, you know, due to writing or structure or whatever, and, like, that, but, like, his were very much, this game is fucking broken. And,
well, he's not alone, though. There are...
No, there certainly are other people, there's plenty of gifts, but it's just so weird, because, like, I'm reading through like the comments on reviews, and like certain people are going, I'm having like these same problems, and other people are going like, I'm not, like,
right. I think Brad's review is probably the worst score that it's gotten out of all the major outlets, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if you consider a 2 out of 5 to be a 40 out of 100.
Yeah. I mean, most reviews there are like 6s and 7s.
Yeah.
For Mass Effect. Yeah. You know, and I just wonder if of the majority outlets, the reason it reviewed so poorly for him is because he just got a shit.
Yeah, he just somehow got hit terribly, but.
Well, it was like with me and, what's the game you guys loved that I hated? The Walking Dead.
Yeah, you couldn't even play it.
I couldn't even play it. I'm like, this game
you didn't get far enough.
Awful.
Well, but no, like, it was technically unplayable for Tony. Like,
yeah, I couldn't make it work. And, I mean, that just kind of ruins it for me. And if I'm reviewing that game, I mean, you actually could play it, so you have a completely different experience than I did.
Yeah, and right. You have to report what your experience was. Like, yeah. you're not wrong to say, I cannot play this. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's trash.
Yeah, no, I don't begrudge him that at all. It's like, it's just so weird. Like...
Right, and I guess that's almost worse. Like, could you, like, you released a game that's so, like, you know, that varies so much in player experience that, like, you have, like, there was the potential for major outlets to give it a really high score because it was technically great, and then, like, other people to get the shit end of the stick and give it 2 stars out of 5 and, you know, a 6 and stuff like that. It's like, you know, maybe nail down some of that shit beforehand, you know? And, like, seeing stuff like this makes me believe the conspiracy that it was released when it was due to fiscal earnings, and that just
I
easily used another
fully, 2 weeks. Yeah.
But I fully believe that that's why, but I also think, like, as somebody who works in finance, like, you know, if BioWare comes and goes, we need another 2 months, like, well, we've already given you X amount of time, and you're way over budget already.
Yeah.
Just, like, you know, fix it after it's out.
Or, like, is it fucking playable? The answer is yes. Like, it could be better. If it's playable, right. Then put it out there.
It passed cert, so, you know.
Right.
Yeah, and I would love to hear the story of this game's development, just because...
I know.
When did they... They didn't reveal anything about this game at E3, right? Remember, we were freaking out about that. They didn't start talking about this game until Mass Effect Day, and it was like a minute... And no, the very first footage of Mass Effect we saw was at the PlayStation Pro reveal. And that was like the very first gameplay they just sort of nonchalantly carted out there before N7 Day, which I think is in September or whatever the hell.
No, it's
November.
It's November 7th.
11-7.
I get that and the Bungie Day confused.
Bungie is in July.
Okay.
7-7.
Yeah. Oh, these gaming holidays, I can't keep them straight. Right, holidays, so like, so between the reveal of the game in November and the release is 5 months. That's an insane, that's not like a Bethesda, hey, we talked about this game at E3 and it's available. It's, I think it's like, oh shit. You need to tell people this game exists at some point, I guess, even though maybe it's not in a state of proper existence. I don't know. That's just weird. Like,
no, I get that vibe.
That you would expect a huge blowout for, like, they're gonna like let you like Destiny now or something like that, right? You know, or but instead, the first look we got at it was during the technical showcase for the PlayStation Pro 4 Pro, and it wasn't even like, oh, and here's our very first Mass Effect footage. They were just like, yeah, here's footage of the new Mass Effect game running.
It's like the first two times we saw anything about that game, it was just people talking about it and like fucking character models on a computer behind them. You're like, great, you know, like, and then yeah. And then it did feel like, and like leading up to the release, there wasn't a lot of build up to it. Like, I don't know, just kind of snuck up, honestly. Maybe I'm just
there were trailers eventually, but I mean, boy, did they like you know, hit it right under the gun there.
I mean, it'll be interesting to see, because what is it? Shadow of War comes out in August, right? Or something like that. Like, and that was just revealed, so we're talking.
Yeah, but like, 5 months. Mass Effect was, they did reveal that they were working on a new Mass Effect game. It's
right.
A little different, like.
But is it? Like, I mean,
yeah,
hey, we're going to wait.
Well, I mean, remember when they were talking about Shadow of War, at least, there was the rumor that it was supposed to appear at E3 last year, and even we had picked up on that, and I wonder if either it was already something got bumped or they decided. So yeah, I'll be curious to see how that, but I mean,
or maybe that, and then there's, finally getting to, like, hey, we shouldn't have these 2.5-3 year fucking reveal cycles, because right. people are like, where the fuck is the game?
Right, and the difference, I'd say, between that and Mass Effect was the way that the games were presented. Like, Shadow of War was revealed in the same way that Destiny was, in the sense that, like, hey, our thing got leaked beforehand, so fine, we'll just go and announce the game a week ahead of time. But they still managed to control the message. Like, with Mass Effect, it was, you know, it was that showcase, that hardware showcase. There was no fanfare. It was very... Mark Cerny may have been even talking over it. And then they were like, oh, yeah, all right, here's a 60-second... trailer, and then it just went dark for another 3 months. I don't think we got another trailer until end of January, maybe. And
I think we got something in November, right?
That was the very first trailer right after the PlayStation showcase, I think. And I mean, yeah, I do think that in the industry is moving into smaller press cycles because they don't have to spend as much money.
It's better that way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because,
look at how I suffered with Zelda for the last 3 years.
Right, was it Zelda or like No Man's Sky, which just and some of this might have been, this is some of with Mass Effect too, was they revealed it so early that it was a game coming, and people were just like, oh my god, like this is what this is going to be, and like they just got themselves so hyped up about it, and then it came out and it was like, ooh.
Well, and I mean, I don't, like, saying you're going to make a new Mass Effect game is okay. I think it's different than announcing a new Mass Effect game, because it's like, okay, well, obviously EA is going to make a new Mass Effect game, right? It was a highly popular series, very polarizing at the end, but it made a lot of money. So then coming out and be like, yeah, we're talking about the future of Mass Effect isn't some huge revelation in the same way that, like, oh, we're making a new, obviously, Sledgehammer's making a new Call of Duty, right? Or, you know, like, CD Projekt Red announced Cyberpunk 3 years ago?
Yeah, and that's the problem with that. Like, I got major problems with that.
I mean, so the reason they announced it is because they wanted people to come work on the game. It was actually, like, a pitch video to get people interested in, like, hey, come work up with us and build this game. My bigger issue... Like, and I think that's fine. I think the worst way to handle it was Bioshock Infinite, because Bioshock Infinite announced in 2010. No, it was 4 years. It was like 2008. And it was four. And they were like, yeah, this game's not going to be available till 2012. And I remember, like, IGN went there. They had a whole thing in New York where they showed part of the game.
And dude, it was
and
so
like that's
painful.
Bullshit. Like, that's not like, oh, somebody in passing being like, yes, we're making another Call of Duty game because of course we are, or trying to get people to hire people to come into your studio to work on a cool game. This is the beginning of our marketing cycle. Four years before the game's release.
I remember they dropped that Bioshock Infinite video. It was like a 10-minute video, and it was mind blowing.
And nothing made it in.
Nothing
from that
made it in the game. Yeah.
I mean, maybe not specifically from that, but like the heart of that is in the game. Like, but I just remember like how torturous that was, because like I wanted to play it so bad, dude. And like it made the next couple of years feel like forever. It's like, dude, don't even tell me about it until you're close to release, because I don't want to have to sit there and wait for it that long. Like, I don't know. At least for me, like, I get really fucking hyped for shit. I'm like, god damn it.
Right, I mean, you and Zelda, right? I mean, it took them...
Zelda,
was it like,
Bioshock Infinite.
How many years did they delay Breath of the Wild? Was it, like, two?
Yes, it was supposed to come out in 2015.
Right.
So, yeah, 2 years.
So, yeah, I mean, I just wonder with this how things... would have gone in, like, with another month of just... Please God, let us, like, this game, you know, 7 out of 10 people are playing a broken copy of this game. I'm exaggerating, but, you know, like, please God, let us.
A portion.
A high enough portion, you know, like, I mean,
I don't think you're anywhere near 7 out of 10.
No, like I said, I'm exaggerating, but. Like,
I wouldn't even think
if it's 3 out of 10, that's not okay.
I think it's higher than normal. like than you see in most games, or the bugs are of such a severity that
is it making the situation seem worse
than it is.
That this is such a beloved series that like the bugs that people are getting, they're putting out there and like, oh my god, like whereas like, you know, you get a bug in some other lower tier game, like people just aren't going to pay attention.
I mean, that depends. I mean, you know, I would think that if a Halo game launched like this, people would be talking about it in the same way. And like, we can't play Halo. Fucking Master Chief like clips in and out of, he just falls into the ground. You know, Cortana walks in on screen in a T pose. Like, you know, like that. There's sort of the exception of Bethesda for whatever reason. This expectation of, yeah, okay, it'll be. It's not going to be perfect, but it'll be more than playable in most cases.
Talked about this earlier, but I mean, no game is perfect when it comes out now. Yeah. But also, like, I mean, we can only speak anecdotally from what we've played, but between myself and Tony and even Fozzie's experience with it, his 6 hours that he played, none of us came across this at all.
Right, which is weird, because, like, I have to imagine that if I did it, I would be the one person. Like, I wonder if it's, like, one in five or something, buddy. Like, if we get Jeff, especially,
well,
Jeff's luck.
My comparison to Fallout before, there are a lot more variables in this game than there are in the previous Mass Effect games. Like you have, like it's not just the number.
It's an open world game. Like
open world game, so you got lots of different kinds of armor, lots of different kinds of weapons. Like what angle are you coming in? What quests have you completed? Because there are so many more than there were before. Like there's a whole bunch of like thousands upon thousands of factors to toss in there. So, I mean, it's really hard to figure out what cool is this shit.
Yeah, I think at some point, though, with the open world games, I think that there have been open world games that for when you can do it.
Right, I mean, Witcher launched, like, I mean, people had problems with Witcher in terms of, like, the movement is weird and the UI is actually garbage, but bug-wise, I think it was fine.
I think The Witcher is a bad comparison because it's like the best open world game ever made. Like, if that's the example you're going to say, like,
but even there, like, I had situations where Geralt was like stuck in fucking doorways and like,
okay.
I mean,
The Witcher is the only open world game I've ever played that didn't have like weird stuff going.
My example then would be Dragon Age Inquisition, and I don't think these are the. I don't know if they're the. This is the first ever BioWare team, right? I think they were created specifically for this game, but Inquisition didn't have like nearly this kind of release. And I played it the month of, but I don't remember even hearing about how shitty everything was.
I think that there was a lot less buzz for Dragon Age Inquisition, like people were less interested in it. Like I think if it had around it the fan fervor that you get around Mass Effect, you might have heard other stuff.
I'm just saying, look, it makes logical sense. Like it makes sense in our mind. Like, yeah, these big open world games, a million things they're doing, I can accept that it's rough around the edges, and that's been the way we've thought about them forever. But The Witcher has shown.
I mean, if you want an even worse comparison, we can talk about Zelda, right?
Well, that's what I was just gonna bring up. Breath of the Wild is not buggy, dude. Like it feels polished like a Zelda game, but it's open world.
But it's also Nintendo, right? So I mean, you know, they had to delay their game 2 years outside of its release in order to.
But that's like a thing about it that is another reason that like, sets it over top most games because it's like it's totally open world, but like it feels just as crafted and polished as a Zelda game. Like it did have frame rate issues, but
yeah.
Like, they have bugs.
Also, like, I mean, for as big as Zelda is and for all the different variables it has, add in, like, weird dialogue systems and options for, you know, changing the, you know, the conversation points. Add in character customization in such a way that, like, you know, is way more than what Zelda has as well.
I think you'd be surprised about some of the things. There's not like dialogue.
Well, there's a ton of you can't like make it, Link a female or, you know, brown
you can't,
hair.
You
or,
can.
Or have
like, you, I mean, depending on your view of that. Yeah.
But or like, I mean, remember like you're in Mass Effect, you are basically traveling with a team of three that is interchangeable. Like you, like so Tony can be playing it with Drac and PB, whereas I could be rolling with Jahl and Vetra.
And no, yeah,
I could be playing a female. Right. He could be playing a male, and with like tons of different combinations.
I mean, and I think in that way, comparison to that is how Zelda's systemic world works with its with every other piece. So, like A plus A can interact with C, which can interact with B, which interact. You know, if he rolls a boulder down a thing, it will. You know, and it's in a snowy area, it'll collect snow, become a snowball, and then hit an enemy and run that enemy off a cliff, right? I mean, there are 8 million ways that that stuff could break in the same way that these, you know, party changing and armor variables could in Mass Effect. And now, like I said, Zelda's a bad comparison because they spent 2 more years than they, you know, perhaps should have on...
I mean, the result speaks for itself, I think.
And I can only speak from my experience with Mass Effect, but I haven't come across anything that I would be... Like, outside of, like, a couple crashes here or there and a weird situation where my rider walked down the stairs looking like she just took a shit in her pants. I haven't had anything to, like, where, like, what was posted on Giant Bomb or some of the other stuff on there. And there are reviewers out there like that I've heard talk about it, and they haven't had any of these experiences either. And like, so it's really, really a strange situation.
I mean, the highest review I saw, I think, was Polygon's, right? Arthur Keyes' review was a 7. And he was like, yeah, occasionally I got some stutter, and the character models look really weird, but nothing broke.
That was the highest review for Mass Effect.
So I looked at
like the big
talk about like the big five, like you know, Giant Bomb, GameSpot, IGN, Kotaku, and Polygon. There's maybe one or two in there that I'm missing. Yeah. Eurogamer and stuff. Yeah, are you checking Metacritic, Chris?
Yeah,
because I was surprised. GameSpot was the lowest until Giant Bomb. GameSpot's was a 6. And IGN's I think hit just about a 7 as well. And I mean that's not mostly due to technical. A lot of the issues then became about writing and plot and things like that.
Let's see, and I mean like, yeah, if you Polygon was a 77.5.
Okay,
but
IGN might have been a 7.
If 7.2 you go, or something. If you kind of go the like bigger, some of these smaller sites like. I don't even know what the... I've never even heard of this site. Somos Xbox. Like, somehow they were able to get on Metacritic, but they gave it a 95.
I meant to look at that and see if we could ever get on Metacritic. I'm like, I see sites that literally just, like, are just, like, fanboy sites have their reviews on Metacritic, and I'm like, how the fuck can I get on?
Like, Xbox Achievements, which is actually a pretty good site, like, they gave it an 80. IGN gave it a 77.
Okay. Yeah, so those are about the highest that I saw. And then it gets to, like, GameSpot, which is like, here's a 6. And then I wonder if they put Giant Bombs in as a 40.
They don't have...
I don't think they're on there. Yeah.
Don't worry. Jim Sterling will come in with a 4 for you guys.
So I'm looking at their... I'm looking at the Xbox One reviews, and they don't have Giant Bomb on there. Let me see if they were...
Well, Giant Bombs couldn't have been up. Because, like, I swear to God, I listened to their latest episode, and, like, it sounded like he was still playing the game.
I don't know.
Giant Bomb, he reviewed the PS4 version, and that's where they have it listed at.
Okay, so they haven't touched the other versions yet.
Yeah. It's weird, though. The PS4 is the lowest scoring. PC is at 74, and Xbox One is at 77. Xbox One is actually listed as a green game. So it seems like the PS4 is the worst version.
I wonder how many people just reviewed it only on PS4. Like, how many reviews are there?
50-some on PS4.
While you're there, what is the ukulele average? I was just wondering.
I'd be curious to talk about that. I don't know if any of you guys have played it.
Not yet. 70. Four on PC, 68 on PS4, and 73 on Xbox One.
How many on PS4?
It's a 68 on PS4.
Oh, for ukulele, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wonder. So, shit. Right.
But anyways.
Well, I'm just curious because it. That's the PC version.
Xbox One had 32 reviews.
Okay, and I wonder how many the PS4
had. PC had 30, and PS4 had like 59?
Okay, 50, right.
53.
So it had almost twice the amount of the other two platforms, which is weird. Right, because if, I mean, PC had 30 and Xbox had 32.
Yeah.
And almost twice the amount. So.
And PS4 had 53.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why. It seems really weird that, like, that would be the version that, I guess, like, if they give them an option, though, because sometimes we do get reviews,
right,
and they go, hey, which platform do you want? And many people have picked PS4 as their platform of choice. I do wonder if the PS4 version is buggier, though.
Yeah, I wonder as well, because I think some of my other friends are playing just on Xbox, which would be weird.
It'll be crazy, right?
I mean, PlayStation, you would think, is the lead SKU, right? Because
I doubt it is for EA games.
Yeah, not anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I really doubt that it is for EA.
Well, but just from a hardware standpoint, it is a beefier system, like you think.
Well, from a hardware standpoint, but the PC is going to be the lead platform, though.
Oh, sure. Right, sure.
Because they're all on the same architecture.
Right.
Yeah.
So I do wonder, because the Xbox One and the PS4 are basically the same. It's just one is a little more powerful.
Right. And we'll talk about
that's what,
step
yeah,
in that in a minute, but.
Anyway, let's move off of the Mass Effect nonsense.
Only to come back around once we get to news.
Oh, this was still Mass Effect? Oh, shit.
Yeah. There are other games.
Yeah. Pete, you finished up Nier.
I did.
You want to touch on that briefly?
Yeah, so I think when last week when I talked about it, I was partway through the second playthrough, and I have now completed the third one. I got all the trophies, I platinumed the game, and I did that mostly by buying the trophies, because you can do that in that game.
You can buy the trophies?
Yes, one of the little, like,
seems
fucking
weird.
Kojima things that he does, that Yokotaro does in his game, is after you've beaten the whole game, like all three playthroughs, there's a shopkeeper opens up that's like, hey, yeah, you give me 50,000 gold and you can unlock the trophy. And stuff.
Okay, I was gonna say with in-game currency.
Yeah, I didn't pay real money.
It's so weird.
And I was glad because a lot of the trophies outside story ones are super grindy. Require a lot of like random events to work in your favor in order to discover things. Like if you don't get the right spawn, then you know, because it's like a lot of it is like find all the archives, find all the enemies, find all the weapons, and these are things that just appear in chests and randomly when the zone loads, and one of them is like get all the endings in the game, and I had all of them but ending Y, and ending Y requires you to complete the hardest side quest in the game and defeat the hardest side boss in the game, and I was like, I just don't want to do that, I don't have the time for that, but that game totally deserves to be played. I think that it's a game that you should just put on easy and just button mash your way through all the combat sequences because they're fairly uninteresting. But the story is like some of the best sci-fi I've seen in quite a while, especially in gaming. And the sort of like silliness and seriousness that, you know, like I said last week, this dude, you know, you would think that he was an understudy of Kojima or something, like the way that he sort of mixes that, his like very profound ideas with that like weird sense of humor and stuff that we see from a lot of Japanese games. I would say that he actually tells a better story than Kojima does because he doesn't wind up going up his own ass by the end of the story. And you know, by the end of it, it's a more complete tale about, you know, what does it mean to have consciousness and to exist, and you know, can machines develop the idea of will, free will, and things like that. It's good. It's a lot of fun. I never really connected to the 9S character. I still think he was an unbearable twat. And
damn you, twat!
And
it's an underused insult.
We need to say twat more often. I agree. Twat.
And so he was really frustrating, and he only got worse as the game went on. But that character aside, I was pretty much into everybody's story. Yeah, I would highly recommend it. Maybe later in the year for people as like a really cool $30 game on Steam. You just buy it and you put it on easy mode and you just blow through. I think it took me 30 hours, I'd say, for the whole story.
Okay.
Yeah, I think about 14 for playthrough one, another 5 for the second playthrough, because that one was really short. And then the third playthrough, which acts as a sequel to, or chapter 2, much in the way that Metal Gear Solid 5 had a chapter 2. That one was maybe another 10. I really liked it. I was very surprised by the end, and I'm glad that there were some other people out there talking about it, because that's really what got me to check it out, and I feel better for it. So one day there'll be a review for that.
I want to play that at some point, but
I feel like I see it coming up on my like games you wish you played this year nomination.
Probably, right?
Yeah.
All right, so another
game. It should be bummer then, because God damn it, man, I just got way at least some. I don't know if it'd be game of the year, but
another game that I feel is probably going to be on my. I wish I played this, but I'm not going to get a chance to. Tell us about Persona 5.
Yeah, so I was playing that just before the podcast. I'm only like
streaming it though because they draw on QWERTY.
I can't do that. No, God forbid. I accidentally tried to take a screenshot. The game yelled at me. Like, wow. What the fuck are you trying to do, man? I will DMCA your ass.
Like a hand came out of the screen and just slapped you in the face. Like, fuck you.
There's a really good joke on Twitter that people are retweeting where a screenshot, the game. Somebody asks the main character, like, are you streaming the game or something? What's your channel? I'll subscribe. And somebody says, if you answer yes, the game just uninstalls itself.
I saw that, dude.
I'm only like an hour and a half in. And I finally got to the first dungeon. It's a very slow moving opening because it's trying to get you used to the mechanics and, but there's also a lot of setup plot wise and stuff. There's a lot of just like you clicking through text boxes and making dialogue choices and stuff. And none of which seems to affect like the majority of the plot, maybe except how the characters might perceive you. So I can't really say much beyond that it has a lot of style, and it's fun so far. But
have you played Persona before?
I played some of Persona 2 on the PSP, but that one was back when they did more 2D, like almost isometric stuff, and it wasn't as like open world and or open zoned. Maybe is a better word for it. But it has a lot of really nicely drawn anime cutscenes, so that's cool. Voice acting seems pretty good so far. I'll have a lot more to say about it next week because I've only just started because I wanted to finish Nier before I dove into Persona.
I'm really interested in that game as well. I think I will get to it at some point this year, but I've never played it before.
I'm like, been contemplating playing the original Persona on Vita.
I would just jump in with this. This one looks sexy.
Yeah, from what I've heard from people, like if you've never played them before, 5 is a really good place to jump in. But I think also the first one would be fine because like 2, 3, and 4 kind of consistently build on one another's mechanics. And so it can be hard to, I guess, figure out what's going on.
And I mean, I don't know if you'll know the answer to this, but is there any overarching story?
Not in 5. I think 3 and 4 were connected because characters from 3 appeared in 4, if not some of them became party members.
Okay.
The only connection is like, hey, the Velvet Room is in this one, which is basically the overarching thing that appears and draws people in to like, you know, find their persona and stuff like that. But, I think the only things you might find are little references to incidents that happened years ago about other Persona-related things. But in this one seems like there's little to no connection aside from maybe little Easter eggs, kind of like Nier.
Okay. We'll be interested to see what more you have to say about it.
Me too. And I'm glad that there's nothing huge coming out the rest of this month until Prey, because it'll probably take me until then to finish the whole game.
Jeff and I will have a ukulele next week.
Fuck yeah.
I'm really curious to hear what you guys have to say about that, because the internet has not been kind to that game.
It's been all over the place.
I think my idea of what that game was going to be was a lot different than maybe what everybody else thought. I was expecting so much more.
Really? Were you
expecting anything more than a Banjo game?
No. Well, I don't know. I expected that to be like big with people. But everyone was just sort of like, yeah, it's an okay Banjo game. And I was like, man, what if it was a really good Banjo game?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the hope, right? Like, that it's like something like, but I didn't really expect it out of what it was coming. Like, it's like a small studio, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's people that worked on those old games, but like, that was a long time ago, too. It's like, you know, I didn't expect it to like somehow revitalize what that was. I just was happy to have it, I guess.
Right. I mean, you know, I mean, they are kind of making a resurgence in the sense of like, you know, the Crash Bandicoot collections in the summer and stuff
like that. That's great. Fuck yes. I mean, bring it on.
And Snake Pass just came out too, and a lot of people were like, Snake Pass is good. It's hard, but it's good.
Which game?
Snake Pass, I think it's called.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't really look like a platformer to me, though.
It's like a puzzle platformer, it seems like.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it looks interesting. The art style looks exactly like that same vein.
Right. I thought it was like a ripoff for a little while. Yeah. It is, actually. You have like a little bird that carries you around and lets you fly and stuff.
But I'm looking forward to it. I should actually be getting my code sometime this weekend, I think.
Like, my expectations are fully in check with this game. And I will just say, look, I played the Toy Box demo. They get for pre-ordering it, like, and maybe it doesn't make any advancements from those old N64 games, but it does play better than those. Like, come on, dude! Like, go back and play those N64 games.
Oh yeah, no, for sure.
They're not amazing anymore. Like, so the fact that this plays somewhat fine as like a modern game is a step up at the very least. I'm not trying to like, you know, cut it slack. I'm just saying, like, if you like that type of genre, like, it's okay.
This will probably work for you.
Because guess what? There ain't no other fucking games like it that they're making anymore. So,
nope. We'll see. I'll be interested to hear and play it for myself as well.
Yeah, I'm curious as well, because
I'm excited still.
Might be a fun pickup later in the year.
Jeff, you've been playing more Zelda, so I don't think we have to touch on that. Tony, have you played anything else?
I did give a shot to They Shall Not Pass. The
DLC
for Battlefield 1. The new maps are cool.
Yeah.
Verdun especially. It's basically trench warfare. Because none of the maps in the original Battlefield 1 set were really focused on like a specific like trench battle, but this is like lines of trenches and like rubble and fortifications facing each other. So it's kind of like like trying to find your way to this actual battlefield, and it's really like you're getting shot. You have no idea where the bullets are coming from. It feels like an actual World War I battle, which is cool.
That seems cool.
Also, no vehicles in that one, so you're kind of stuck with the infantry combat. I definitely want to play more. The French are around. I got to play for a little while as a Frenchman. And they have some unique weapons. The cool thing about it, so I have Battlefield Premium, and I was playing with Don and one of Don's friends, and they don't have Premium. But since I have Premium and I was the party leader, I was able to bring them in and they could play the DLC with me.
That's cool.
That's neat.
That's a really nice feature. The funny part is, though, they can't get experience. What the game does is it stores the experience they get on the maps, and if they ever buy the DLC,
they'll get it.
That's actually kind of fucked.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny.
Like that sounded awesome, and then you were like, oh yeah, here's the other end of that contract.
Well, I mean, it's kind of a nice way to like get for them to try it out.
Yeah, like, do you want to buy it? Like, I mean, maybe don't consistently play on them with people, but like, hey, I don't know if I want to spend $15 on this or $50 on premium.
Right.
Yeah, can you show me a cool map or something?
And then, I mean, if you spend a lot of time trying it out, then that time isn't wasted because you actually end up getting that experience if you decide to pick it up. So.
Yeah, so at least it's there. Like if you do pick up the other stuff, that's cool.
Yeah.
I played about 2 hours of Dino Crisis.
Yeah, I saw you tweeting about that. And I got real excited.
What year?
Wow, that's rough. It's a hard game to go back to.
Yeah.
And wow, the writing is so bad, so bad. Yeah, it's hard to go back to like that. Tank Control, for one.
Especially the very first iteration of it. Like, PS1, dude, those games also look rough and everything. Like, it's just... Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, some of it actually looked like... I think, like, the dinosaur models actually look pretty cool. Especially for that time period. Like, the T-Rex and then the Raptors and the Pterodactyls. Like, they all actually look really...
Yeah,
for it, but like the character models on Regina and her team are terrible. Like they're blocky and
fucking triangles and shit.
Yeah, so bad. And I mean, it's very much Resident Evil meets Jurassic Park.
Yep.
But wow, like some of that shit is really obtuse. But I do like it's. I've already done more like. Puzzle solving in this than I probably had in anything in Resident Evil 6. So it's like, and the puzzles are fun. Like they're not hard, but they're like fun. Like, all right, like figure out how to make a pathway here with a crane or you got to figure out how to connect these pipes. I don't know why you're connecting these pipes, like to power up a power generator. Cause that makes zero sense. Like why would you be connecting pipes to make power? But like you're having to drop pipes in a certain way like that. It's like those things are cool about it. Yeah, like you're like, it's very much a survival horror game. Like I think I'm currently out of ammo except for my grenade launcher, which you get right at the beginning of the game. And I haven't used any of that ammo, but that's all I have left for ammo at this point.
Well, hopefully you find something soon, because you don't want to waste all that, you know?
No, yeah, you want to save that for, like, the T-Rex at the end or something. So, I figured, you know, I'm going to play through this. I bought Dino Crisis 3 earlier this year. I want to get to that, and I'll probably play through it and do, like, a retro write-up on it, so. But, yeah, wow, some of that dialogue. Whew. It's rough. All right, Pete, let's quick go through some news here.
All right, cool. So yeah, Mass Effect patch, part of which I think hit on Thursday already. Let's see here. Okay, so I think the patch which came out today included a bunch of multiplayer challenges or changes. Improved tutorial placement. I don't know what that means. Fixed collision issues, bugs where VO and music wouldn't play correctly. Yeah, basically like fixing a lot of technical garbage. They also went on to say that coming down the line, they would improve the male romance options for Scott Ryder because there was a pretty good article written about this in Kotaku maybe last week about how the gay male romance scenes and options are literally just like copy and pasted animations from other romance scenes and not given nearly the same level of attention that the other ones are.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Let's see. Also more options and variety in the character creator, improvements to hair and general appearance for characters, which I think already kind of appeared because people had been posting pictures, particularly of this character, Addison, who looked real hideous in older pictures. Yes. And now everybody doesn't look like they're walking around with their eyes like this the whole time.
Yeah.
Everybody has normal lids. Let's see. Ongoing improvements to cinematic scenes, animations, improvements to parents' eyes, which they did already. Yeah, and then adjustments to conversations with Hanley Abrams, who is like the one of the worst, like most poorly written trans characters we've seen this side of video gaming in quite some time. Mostly, she's like a really side character, but just sort of the way that she was written and represented in the game kind of bummed a lot of people out. So yeah, that's the future of Mass Effect. Let's see. We're talking about Persona and their streaming.
Oh, yeah, well, things. Yes.
Does anybody have any opinions on the Mass Effect stuff? But we kind of spent 45 minutes on that, so I imagine
we talked Mass Effect.
Yeah, we've run that Mass Effect.
Yeah. So basically, US Japan, Atlas US just throws Japan right under the bus on this one, and it's just like, oh yeah, hey, they own us, and they're the ones who set this, so here it is. You're not allowed to stream the game past July 7th, and
that's an in-game date.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's an in-game date, not like literally July 7th here.
It's like July 7th. After that, you're fucked. Like you can't stream it anymore.
I'm not sure what happens at that point in the game yet, because I'm only on April 11th. And so you cannot stream the game past that, and there's all these restrictions. There's a huge thing on their blog that's basically like an embargo, but a permanent one. Like this doesn't like they were like, hey, we might get them to back down in the future, but it's unlikely. So please listen to these, or else you're going to have a copyright strike, and you're going to have content claim IDs and all that judge lovely stuff. It says, please do not post any specific plot points or story spoilers, and only talk about the game in broad strokes. And then they give an example of what that is. It's, I mean, this is some archaic Nintendo level bullshit.
Yeah. Yes, it is. And,
we're Japanese. We don't understand the internet, and we fear it. So
Sega's going all out this week. Cause I think Sega published it as well. But yeah, they have also put streaming restrictions on Puyo Puyo Tetris.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned that. That's so weird.
Because, dear God, what if someone sees that?
Right. Like, they...
how could you do that with the L block?
So strange.
Right?
I just don't get it. Like, you would think at this point, Japan would understand like that.
It's only helping you. It's not hurting you.
Right.
So who cares?
Yeah, I mean, so Atlas has had a big problem with this in the past. There were 6 months ago or so, there were articles running about people out of nowhere having whole Persona 4 videos getting taken down off their website. And then they would contact U.S. Atlas, and Atlas would then go to Atlas Japan, and they would get the copyright claims reversed. And I think finally they were just like tired of fighting them, and so now they're just like, you know what, fine, fuck it, whatever, do what you got to do, and stuff like that, which sucks because like. You know, this is it's one of the biggest releases this year, right? I mean, and that this it would create a lot of content for people and stuff, and now they're totally 100% banned from posting anything except the first third or quarter of the game. I'm not even sure, which I imagine most people won't even bother doing, because who wants to watch a partial playthrough of a game?
Right. Just from experience with like Giant Bomb and you know how they've handled Persona in the past, like with their endurance runs, like that's actually what kind of got me interested in even looking at the series to start with. Yeah, this is such a weird thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we were talking about Nintendo, and Nintendo's just as bad in the sense that, like, you know, nobody puts Nintendo up. They haven't gotten to Twitch yet, and I'm sure they will once they figure out it exists. But, like, they created a whole YouTube partner program where they, like, take 98% of the revenue, and then you get, like, a couple of cents here or there. And no, that's why nobody does it anymore. There's no, like, anything that you see that's a Let's Play on a YouTube is an archive of a Twitch stream, because people can, at the moment, they can still freely stream Nintendo games.
That's crazy. Oh, well. What else we got in news? There's the big one.
There's two big ones here, two interesting ones here. Okay, so Gearbox is putting out a remastered version of Bulletstorm.
Yes.
And they decided, I guess yesterday, I missed all this, that to partner with this game key seller, G2A, who is fairly known for just selling, like, keys acquired through credit card fraud and, like, a bogus overseas keys and stuff, stolen keys and stuff. Yeah. It's a whole big bad thing. And so it got so bad that, like, a bunch of people, particularly Total Biscuit, I guess, was like, I'm just not going to cover Gearbox games anymore then if this is the bullshit they're going to pull. And so I guess they contacted him and were like, why are you being this way? And he's like, oh, you know, because of these 8-12 times where they have done, like, really shitty business practices. And, you know, they actually require you to pay $30 a month for fraud protection and bullshit like that. And I guess today Gearbox came back with, like, a bunch of demands to G2A to be like, hey, you do this stuff or we pull our, I guess they were exclusively selling the collector's edition through them or something. And they were like, we pull our deal.
Okay.
And stuff. And they were like, and the response to this is, like, from Total Biscuit, at least, is like, hey, this is a win-win because either G2A listens and they, like, shore up their business practices, or they don't, and they truly expose themselves to literally everybody that they are scum. And it will show all AAA publishers that they shouldn't do business with them and stuff like that. Because, I mean, he wrote a whole, Total Biscuit, like a whole article, a very, very long article that goes into, like, incidents with the company and stuff, how they have, like, bankrupted certain indie developers because all the keys sold for their games came from fraud and stuff, and so none of the money went to developers and stuff like that. And so, yeah, they're fairly, and they keep trying to, like, fucking come be like, nah, we're good guys and stuff, and Aaron's like, no, you guys are dicks,
you, like, guys are scummy.
So yeah, so I mean, that one sort of came out of nowhere today, and I'll be curious to see where it goes in the coming weeks.
Yeah.
Because I think that game comes out real soon.
Yeah, either next week or the week after.
So, okay, and then, yeah, the big one are the specs for the Scorpio, which, yep, I'm going to use GameSpot's, yeah, like, layman article to explain to everybody so I know what I'm saying as well. So, yeah, this is part of, like, the exclusive that Digital Foundry Eurogamer had.
Yes.
Talk about the most powerful console in the world. And according to this, I guess it is for now. The device contains 12 gigs of RAM, which is 50% more than the PlayStation 4 and Xbox. The memory is GDDR5, the same faster type of memory that the PS4 has, and better than the DDR3 that's in the Xbox One now.
Right.
Memory bandwidth is improved. I'm not going to get into, like, super number specifics. I'm just sort of cover the overall basics. I'll try and compare it to the PS4 Pro specifically. So it has better memory speed than the PS4 Pro. I guess the Xbox One, the way it parses memory is different. It has, like, memory specifically set aside for the operating system and then stuff set aside for games. And so that's not the case here. I guess it's all just one memory pool. The device's graphical capabilities are contained on a new system chip called Scorpio Engine, which was designed by AMD, which I guess has more megahertz than the PS4 Pro. I mean, I'm waiting for it to tell me about teraflops here. Scorpio's GPU is about 4.5 times more powerful than the Xbox One's and is described by Digital Foundry as a beast. This equates, here are my teraflops, to 6 teraflops. Scorpio also boasts 8 custom GPU cores, each clocked at 2.3 gigahertz, which is similar to PS4 Pro's, which is at 2.1. And then it says, lastly, the upgrade console will ship with a 1 terabyte hard drive and supports 4K Ultra HD Blu-rays. So what does this all mean? It says Scorpio is seemingly capable of native 4K gameplay at a consistent 60 frames per second. Digital Foundry saw a test version of Forza based on the same engine used to build Forza 6 running at those levels, so other titles will likely vary. Existing games that have a 30 frames per second cap will also need to be patched if they have higher frame rates, kind of like the compatibility patches that have been coming out for PlayStation games. And maybe a boost mode or something. So that's what it says here. Scorpio will run all Xbox One games better, whether they are patched or not. That means more stable frame rates and protection for no screen tearing and faster load times. All that is also reportedly true for the 360 backwards compatible games.
Yeah, so everything on Scorpio will run better.
Yeah, it says, even though changes in hardware between Xbox One and Project Scorpio mean Microsoft has had to go back through every existing game individually to make them run on Scorpio. It says, game DVR now lets you capture 4K. HDR gameplay, 60 frames per second, will also allow you to scrub through captured gameplay to find the best screenshots. However, it does not contain a Kinect port. You'll need to use a USB adapter if you still have one.
That's true of the S2.
Yeah.
I have to have a special adapter.
And I think you can, they sell them, but you can also, if you are just buying one, you can actually give your serial number, I believe, and they will send you an adapter.
So that's it. I mean, they said it says it's due to launch this holiday. And then, the assumption is that they're just getting this all out of the way so they can just show things that look cool at.
Which makes sense. Nobody wants to hear like 15 minutes of hardware specs at E3. So
yeah,
or ever.
Right.
Right. I mean, look, what did we do? We spent an hour watching that PS4 Pro thing, and it was the most eye bleeding, boring thing we'd seen in a.
And what Microsoft really needs to do is they need to come out and go like this is why you want a fucking Scorpio, not like, hey, here's some cool numbers that say it's better than our competitor, but like, why is it better? They need to show that.
Right, they need to prove it. Because I mean, like, the PS4 Pro was like, we're better than even ourselves, and everyone's like, we don't.
Great, yeah,
that's nice, but yeah. So that's news. Okay. Not as busy as last week, but
I'm hoping that. I mean, I hope that at E3 we'll get a price.
Right.
Well, my hope is that E3 is the grand reveal and everything. I mean, if it's supposed to launch on holiday,
right,
they got to come out at the very end and be like, it's available with a date, November, right before Black Friday.
Because, Sony didn't come out with the PS4 stuff until September, right? So.
Right, and I don't, but I think Microsoft is in the position where, Sony has the advantage still, right? And I think Microsoft has to come out and be like, we're going to, we're fucking swinging for the fences here. Here's our date. Here's our price, our really cool, affordable price. And here are, a bunch of really cool games that will look cool on Scorpio, right? I think they're kind of shooting themselves in the foot in the same way that Sony does, because it still has to run all the old games. Better can these new games be?
I mean,
I don't think that shoots them in the foot.
I think people are going to ask themselves the same question,
we're never going. I think this system here is the first step in there never being a change in console generation, for at least on the Microsoft side.
Right, and I could see that, but I wonder if there's still going to be that perception of like, this is just an upgrade. Do I really need this right now?
Yeah,
like there's nothing like Breath of the Wild as an example. Like, hey, I could buy this on Wii U, but I could also buy it on Switch, and it'll, you know, it won't actually run better. But you know, like,
isn't that like Microsoft's pitch? Though it's not like this is the new system. It's
this is it. Like, it's like you're gonna be able to play all your games on PC or on your TV, like, across the board, like, everything's the same.
Right. And that was Sony's pitch as well, and everyone just sort of went, yeah.
Okay, great, then I'll keep playing on the fucking old system.
Right, yeah, if everything's the same, why do I need to pay $500 more dollars?
Except the Pro is evidently selling really well.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not saying, and that's great. I just wonder if in the beginning there will be that slump of like, up until everyone's like, this thing's actually fairly old and actually games really do run better. But maybe the Pro will help Microsoft in that way. Because if people went, well, the Pro was good, maybe the...
Right, and the Pro wasn't even that much of a jump over the original PS4. Like,
is the Pro a good seller? Like, I don't know. I'm just so surprised that you said that.
It's hard to find. I don't know if the numbers, like, I don't know that Sony releases the numbers or releases distinct numbers.
They've said they've been very happy with it. Like,
well,
and I mean, and it is their main SKU out there. Like, they do have the Slim.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, even just like anecdotally looking at my Twitter feed, like, people upgraded. Like, I did not. Like, the people did upgrade. Like, I mean, I don't know why, because it didn't sound like you'd be getting that much of an improvement. Like, at least with the Scorpio, like, this sounds like, hey, your shit is going to run better. And, like, that has been a big complaint of the Xbox One.
But, like, also make a game that takes advantage of all that power that... doesn't have to keep in mind about scaling down for a previous generation, essentially. Like, you know what I mean? It's like,
your argument is out there, Jeff. I mean,
because this is like PC. This is PC. Like, yeah. I mean, and you're not a PC gamer, Jeff. So this is exactly how the PC operates. Like, if you have a beefy system, you can play that game and it will fucking look amazing. Or you can play it on a shitty system and it doesn't look all that great. Like, but you can play it on anything.
Sure, fine. All right, you win.
I wonder how well the console market will react to that, though. And I guess, I mean, with the Pro, it's been fairly well, but how much that continues...
I think there are a lot of factors there. I mean, what's the price point? How is Microsoft going to pitch it to people? I mean, really, we still don't know anything. We know the technical details.
Right. And I mean, you can't pitch it any worse than Sony pitched their device, right? Like, I mean, you can only go up from that hour of Mark Cerny just talking about HDR shaders and stuff. Like, and, you know, I think the bigger problem is that they're going to have the same problem Sony had, right? Which is that on your regular, you know, 16:9 monitor, you're not going to be able to tell the difference between screenshot A and screenshot B until you get it in your hands and are able to actually physically see the difference.
And I think, like, for Xbox One owners in particular, like, where some PS4 games are running at, like, you know, a higher frame rate already, just based on the PS4's hardware being more powerful than the Xbox One. And, like, the Xbox One in many cases is, like, locked at 30 on some of these games.
Already a bigger upgrade.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. So, like, right there, like, you're jumping to 1080 60 on games that were maybe running at 930.
Sure.
So
that's, like, true. Yeah.
That's a bigger jump for Xbox One owners than it was from PS4 to PS4 Pro.
I just gotta say, I can't see the difference between any of it, dude. Just maybe I'm visually.
No, it's and
I can't tell.
And that's why they also need to be like, look, like fucking Crackdown 3 is coming out, and like to get the most out of it, you're gonna want to play it on Scorpio, and here's why. And if they can't do that, then they're gonna have problems. Like, but if they can come out and go, these are reasons that you want to play on Xbox, and you're gonna want to get a Scorpio for it, and maybe some of that is, hey, we're gonna announce that, you know, Oculus works with Scorpio out of the box come November,
right. And that would help, I think, quite a bit. And I do believe that, no. As you were saying, Chris, like if they come out and if they don't show old games, they show new games. There's that perception that
it's new.
This is how new these things look. Like if we show Crackdown is a next gen game that will, you know, not technically only be available on Scorpio, but this is how it looks on Scorpio.
Right, but honestly, they can also make it appear that those are Scorpio games. Like they go into their big spiel about Scorpio, and then they Crackdown, Forza 7, Halo 6. Like you just run down those lists of games that are coming out after this game, after this thing comes out, and like, oh shit, they do have exclusives. They haven't announced a fucking exclusive in a year. Like the last one they goddamn had was Halo Wars 2. They've been radio silent since Halo Wars 2 came out. Like, but if they can prove that they have shit coming out and that it looks good and plays well on Scorpio, like they could position themselves real well.
Sure.
Could.
But
it's all theoretical.
For me personally, though, they'd have to finally do like an amazing looking exclusive to Scorpio where I'd be like,
yeah,
you can't play it on Xbox One. Then I'd be like, all right, I'm gonna need to upgrade now. Like,
but you know, if this point, is supposed to be the PC esque, like the turn of that, it, then eventually, like 2-3 years down the road, that's what will happen.
Right.
Yeah.
But I wonder who will take that leap first.
They should.
Me.
I mean,
Sony or Microsoft, like, oh, yeah. Like, will which one finally goes, all right, we got to dump the low end so that way we can continue moving.
If you're looking at the way they've been releasing, Sony would be next in line for an upgrade, and I maybe they dump their PS4 at that point, and like the Pro becomes the base model,
right?
Like the low end model, right? Like,
yeah.
Because Xbox is now a year behind the Pro. I just hope that they don't get into this like. So 2018, Sony comes out and goes, now we have the Pro.
Right, the Pro Squared, right?
Yeah. Like, or, that's where it gets scary for me, is if we're upgrading every other year. It's like, nope. I'm going to start doing what I do with my phone and skip one. Like,
right. You know, the hope is at least that you won't start getting locked out. But
right.
Right.
Like, I mean, you shouldn't get locked out on the next upgrade, but... Like, I would think whatever Sony's next upgrade, if it's not the PlayStation 5, then you're probably locked out on the PS4 base. Like, to me, that would make sense. At least, like, you could still play your old shit, but anything new coming out will be on that new system.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. I'm excited. You know, we have the Nintendo, the Switch is out there. Got a new Xbox console coming out. Like, it's fun, like, with that anticipation for a new machine.
I gotta tell you.
They could blow it. They could totally blow it, but...
I gotta tell you, the Switch is a pretty cool system.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is your machine warped into a boomerang?
No, it is not.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I saw that.
There's something I really liked about it. I can't remember what it is now.
It would happen to Jeff, though, if it was going to happen.
Right. Have you been playing it handheld or TV?
Mostly TV, but a little bit handheld. I know a lot of people say the opposite, but I mean, fuck. The TV is a bigger screen, so.
Right. And there was that Zelda patch, so like the game should be a little bit more stable now,
it
right?
Does, like I did get
the frame-wise.
Yeah, I did get the I downloaded the patch, and yeah, it does seem like, I haven't really had any frame rate hiccups, so.
I'm still checking, like, daily to see if it's in stock places, even though I know I'm probably not going to buy it for, like, another 6 to 8 weeks, but.
It's a cool system, dude. You're going to dig it. Like, I want more games for it so bad because it is a cool system, but it's really just Zelda right now.
Hey, you can get that re-release.
Ukulele on the Switch?
What's
up?
Did
you get Ukulele on the Switch? Because they canceled the Wii.
No. Yeah, I would prefer it on the Switch. Like, I want it on the Switch, but it's like there's no announced release date, and I'm not going to wait because, like, I'm actually still excited for that game, so.
You could get that.
Getting on Xbox.
You get that re-release of Mario Kart 8.
Oh, yeah, I pre-ordered that. And it's funny because I still play Mario Kart 8, and I have all those tracks. So
it's a really good game, yeah. So.
It's not going to feel new at all, like, at all, really, except for, like, the battle mode. And, like, a couple characters, but, like...
Well, and being able to, like, take it off the dock and play it handheld or something.
Oh, yeah, sure, there's that. But, like, it's just fucked up that, like, I'm excited for that, even though, like, I still play that game. It's just, there's not much more to it. But whatever. All right.
Well, Jeff and I will have Ukulele next week.
Yeah.
And Pete will play some more Persona. I'm sure Tony and I will play more Mass Effect.
Also Stellaris Utopia.
Yeah, I need to get on that. Once I have nothing to play, that's the game I'm going to play. And especially since I've heard those patches have really ironed out everybody's issues with the game, like, I can't wait.
Jeff can't wait. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, man, you can play as space bird people.
That's right.
I am I'm kind of anticipating City Skylines coming out. On Xbox One, yeah.
Oh, wow. I wonder how that'll
work. I did not know about that.
Yeah, it's like SimCity, Jeff.
I know that game. I just didn't know they were...
They announced it, like, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
They've been working on it a while. So. I mean, it's been out for... It's been
I've had the game since...
Yeah. Yeah. And I've been waiting to get it since they announced it at E3 in 2015. It's finally going to make it there, so I'm hoping that it turns out to be a good port. So,
I wonder if they're porting it with all the expansions, too, like Snowfall and all that.
That'd be great. And there's like some sort of destruction one, too, right? Like,
yeah, the newest one. Was like,
yeah. Yeah, I'm...
Comets and lightning. And
sounds really cool, so...
It's fun, and I would love to get achievements for playing it.
Yeah. I'm hoping it's priced well, but yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That's at the end of this month, so
wow.
April's a good month. They're not heavy hitters, but they're good games.
I got at least two games I'm looking forward to, so yeah.
Yeah. All right. We'll be back next week then with more. Maybe Fozzie will join us and he can regale us with his Zelda adventures. So,
yeah.
All right, Jeff. Say good night.
Good night.